This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Now I'm standing here. You tell yourself you know what to do when you realize that I am coming for you. Then you'll change your mind and run like a child when you see me standing here. Now I'm standing here. Don't question my heart. Don't question the fire that burns inside.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to another episode of Extreme Resurrection. I'm your host, James Gruenberg. Alongside with me, as always, is Steve Riddle. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. As we are continuing our trek here through ECW 2007, hitting the second half of the year, it's going to be quite a few changes coming down the pike with these two episodes we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, we thought that, you know, the SummerSlam would be the end of the John Morrison CM Punk feud, but no, it is not. You know, as on SummerSlam, that was Sunday, August 26th, John Morrison defeated CM Punk to retain the ECW championship by putting his, like, feet on the ropes while he's pinning CM Punk. So there's some controversy as they were showing the replays, you know, of like Morrison's feet being all over the ropes. And, you know, we're going to see what tonight brings us here tonight as well.
Yeah, and that was definitely a kind of a deflating moment there, because that was, you figure that was the moment that Punk was finally going to break through and win the belt. But yeah, I'm sure there was probably a lot of people that weren't happy that when Morrison beat him for the third time now on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they must have been really trying to, they were truly trying to push John Morrison here as the ECW champion and like this like heel, you know, like they really thought of him like to have him win three times, even though the third time at SummerSlam he did cheat, but the first two times were like clean, you know. I don't know if the Great American Bash was clean, but it did seem that way.
Yeah, I think they were like relatively clean, but yeah, the like you said, the SummerSlam one was the only one where he actually like cheated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're live tonight. This is ECW, August 28, 2007, Albany, New York. John Morrison comes out. He retained the ECW title, defeating CM Punk. Morrison says he set the world on fire at SummerSlam. Morrison proved again why he is the guru of greatness, the Shawn of sexy, whatever he calls himself, you know, he's there. Tonight, there will be a fatal four-way matchup tonight between The Boogeyman, The Miz, Big Daddy V, and CM Punk. So CM Punk is still in the hunt to get his chance to have another opportunity to beat Morrison for the ECW title. So CM Punk is not going away for Morrison.
Yeah, and I think Morrison kind of, you know, made mention of that in the promo. He kind of gives a little promo by him as he kind of runs down all the guys in the four-way. Well, mainly runs down Punk, Miz, and Boogie. He doesn't say much about Big Daddy V because he knows that might get him in trouble. But again, decent little promo there by Morrison.
Yeah, he says that none of them deserve a title shot, but tonight, as we know, is the main event. That will be the Fatal 4-Way. I mean, you can't have a heel versus a heel, really. You know, it's sort of like, okay, maybe Big Daddy V, but you know that that's not going to be good for either man. It's like either Big Daddy V squashes him or Morrison somehow makes Big Daddy V look bad. So we'll see what happens as we get across here tonight. But again, Steve, you know, things still stay the same here on ECW, as we have again Kevin Thorne versus Steven Richards. And we have seen a lot of these guys getting, you know, like Steven Richards getting the underdog wins, Kevin Thorne getting disqualified. It's like, where are we going with this, you know? Mm-hmm. Yep. So they tie ups between both men. Thorne lays shots into Stevie. Thorne drops Stevie on the top rope, bounces Stevie's throat off the turnbuckle. Thorne drives Stevie into the guardrail. Clotheslines by Thorne. Stevie counters the crucifix but gets another clothesline. Code breaker by Stevie. Kicks all around to Thorne for the and then torture rack backbreaker by Thorne as well to Stevie. And then the original sin by Thorne for the win. For this matchup, I went a star and a quarter. It was fine, but, you know, it's finally feel like this feud is over. You know, Thorne finally got a win, and he demolishes Stevie again. But I thought it was good. You know, I like that torture rack backbreaker and the original sin. So it looks like they're still, like, you know, giving Thorne some hope here.
Yeah, I went a star and a half. It was fine. I probably would have been better have it just be like a Thorne complete, like, utter domination of Stevie. Like, maybe Stevie gets, like that one hope spot in, like, the when he escapes the crucifix and does the backslide. But then, like you said, Thorne crushes him with that clothesline, and then he hits the original sin and wins. Like, considering that they still seemingly had, you know, potential plans for Thorne after him getting basically embarrassed by Stevie the last couple of weeks, this would have been, like, a more statement win for him if he just came in and just, like, crushed Stevie in, like, 3 minutes instead of having them go nearly 7 minutes. So a good win for Thorne. Now we'll see what happens to Stevie, if this little, like, you know, miracle underdog run of his is going to be over as quick as it started, and if Thorne can get back on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now we have Miz and Extreme Exposé. They're backstage. Ball says hello to Kelly. Miz calls Balls a loser. Kelly wishes Balls good luck in his matchup tonight, which we will get to. Armando Estrada and Morrison are backstage celebrating. Punk comes in, says he will win the Fatal 4-Way match, and that, you know, your problems with me are not going away, and I will win, and then I will defeat you in an ECW title match here. Miz and Extreme Exposé come to the ring. Before we get into our next matchup, what did you think of this, the Balls Mahoney and Miz segment here?
Just more standard stuff, kind of, you know, you got Kelly continuing to kind of show her little, crush on Balls, while Ms. Brooke and Layla kind of, you know, are disgusted by it. And then more kind of sucking up from Estrada for to Morrison, as, you know, he's kind of wants, you know, kind of trying to be all buddy-buddy with the champion. So just, again, decent stuff.
Yep. So now we have Balls Mahoney versus Elijah Burke. As we know, the last time Elijah Burke got backslide by Balls Mahoney. So we'll see if Elijah Burke can bounce back again. Like we said, more of hopefully these guys who the WWE was banking on, you know, get back on track here, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elijah unloads on Balls. The hip toss and clothesline by Balls. Boot to Balls' head by Burke. Burke slams Balls' leg into the post. He does that handstand elbow drop by Burke. Backslide by Balls for a two count. Clothesline sweep to Balls. Balls delivers his signature punches and a nutcracker sweep to Burke. Superplex by Burke and the Elijah Express, the balls for the win. For this matchup, I went two stars. It was good. Balls looked all right, and then like Elijah Burke just laying in that superplex, and then the Elijah Express. I went two stars on it, Steve.
Yeah, I went a star and a half as well for this one. Again, it's a decent little match here. Kind of a good little bounce back for Burke. Again, you know, Balls gets the win the week before, and then Burke gets his win back. Again, some good little back and forth. That superplex by Burke was pretty impressive, because we know, you know, Balls isn't a small guy to get over. So good on Burke to do that. And then, you know, getting the Elijah Express for the win. And then, of course, continuing the issue as Kelly checks on Balls again before leaving with Miz and company. So, again, more decent stuff here by two guys who kind of, you know, one guy in Balls who's just, you know, like kind of just there for some, you know, to continue this thing with the Miz, and then with Burke, who's, you know, kind of now just kind of the same boat as Thorne. He's just really spinning his wheels now. They're trying to figure out what to do with them.
Yep. So now, you know, like you said, Kelly gets Miz gets on the mic and calls Balls a loser. So, you know, like Miz is like acting like the high school captain of the football team, and Balls is just the outcast. Like, man, you're a loser. You're not even worth my time. You don't get to wear my jacket, you know. And then like Kelly again, like playing the I want to break away from Extreme Exposé, but I just don't do it. It's like, pull the trigger. Come on. Like, you know, how long are we going to go on this? But you know, it continues as Kelly checks on Balls, but then she goes away with Extreme Exposé again. The Miz stays behind because, believe it or not, Steve, we're already in our main event. It's the Fatal Four Way match: CM Punk versus Miz versus Boogeyman versus Big Daddy V. I must say, Steve, before we get into it, this was an okay Fatal 4-Way. Like, you know, a lot of dominance by V, but then once V is, like, taken out, it basically comes down to Punk versus The Miz. You know, Boogeyman sort of just gets, like, demolished as well, too. But was that your thought on the match, too?
You actually took the words right out of my mouth with that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, V pretty much dominated like that first minute or so. But then when he got taken out, it was pretty much just a one-on-one match with Punk and Miz. I mean, Boogeyman, I don't think had any impact in the match at all. So you almost think maybe it would have just been better to have him out and just maybe have to be a triple threat with Punk, Miz, and V.
Yeah. So, like I said, so we're in this Fatal 4-Way matchup here. Clotheslines by V. He tosses Boogeyman to the outside. He splashes Punk, a spinebuster to the Miz. V catches Punk and throws him to the floor. V goes into the crowd. Miz throws Punk into the steps. Clothesline by Miz to Punk. Kicks to the Miz. Punk misses the leg drop. Punk gets a GTS into the Miz to get a title shot. So it's basically like, the Miz takes the fall, so Punk wins. For this matchup, I would say it's like a star and three quarters at best. You know, like I want to say two stars, but I look back and it's like, this is not two star worthy due to the fact that it just dominates by Big Daddy V, but he goes away and then it just becomes a one-on-one matchup here.
Yeah, I only went a star and a quarter. It didn't really do that much. Like you said, like we said, V dominated that first part, kind of looking strong. Then he gets taken out. And then it's down basically to, like you said, Punk and Miz, who had a good little, you know, 2 minutes there before Punk ends up getting the win. Miz was a fine choice to take the fall. You obviously don't want to, you know, they're not ready to have V lose yet because they're still building him up. Maybe you could have had Boogie take the fall, but again, he was such a non-factor that it really didn't matter. So, but going into the match, you kind of figured that Punk was gonna win and get one more chance at Morrison.
Yeah, and as we go into our next pay-per-view, our next episode, it might be his last chance. We'll see. But yeah, you know, so we'll see what happens with you know, V. We'll see what happens with the Miz and Balls Mahoney, and we'll see if, like, you know, the Boogeyman gets something here as well, as we head into already our second episode of the night, and it is ECW September 4th, 2007. We're live in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, school's back in session too, so you know, summer's over. You know, the kids are kind of still seeing these shows, but like, it's mostly like adults and like, you know, teenagers. We have Boogeyman versus Matt Stryker. At first, I probably thought that it was going to be Stryker being like, "Oh, I don't feel like wrestling. I have V," but it actually turns into Boogeyman versus Stryker here.
Yeah, I kind of thought this. I was almost thinking the same thing, but Stryker, he steps up and decides to take it.
Yep, clothesline to Stryker. Stryker runs to V. More clotheslines by Boogeyman. Boogeyman splashes Stryker in the corner. Stryker gets chased, and then V clotheslines Boogeyman, causing a DQ. Samoan drop to Boogeyman. For this matchup, I went quarter star, because it's basically just a dominance, and then it's a squash by Boogeyman, but then, you know, Stryker just runs away, and V just destroys him for the DQ. So I went a quarter star, Steve. But that Samoan drop to Boogeyman looked great, you know, like wham to the outside.
Yeah, I went half a star. It was fine. But like you said, pretty much Boogeyman dominating Stryker until the end, when Stryker gets DQ'd because V gets involved. And yeah, that Samoan drop was really nasty. He got some good impact on that one. And you know, it's basically now, again, we're just kind of seeing these little side mini feuds kind of percolate. Now you wonder when it's going to come down to, when we finally see Boogeyman and Big Daddy V one-on-one, because you know it's going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's see how long this feud plays out, too. So we're backstage, and it is Punk is backstage with Armando Alejandro Estrada, or just Armando Estrada right now. Armando says, "This is Punk's last chance." He goes, "Hey, CM Punk, it's the last chance tonight." So Punk really needs to win, or else he will not get a ECW title shot ever again. We all know how that kind of happens. You know, what happens during when they say, "Oh, it's your last chance."
Yeah, usually tips the hand of who's going to be who's going to be winning the match.
Yeah, sometimes you get a surprise. It's like, well, now what do we do? But now we have Balls Mahoney versus The Miz. Balls lay strikes into The Miz, clothesline the Balls, Russian leg sweep by Miz. Balls lays punches and a back suplex to Miz. Running knee and a reality check to Balls for the win. For this matchup, I actually went a star and a half. I liked it, Steve. I don't know what you went on it, but I liked it for the rivalry of, like, you know, Balls versus Miz here. So I went a star and a half.
Yeah, I went a star. It was fine for what it was. This feud's been pretty one-sided, though. I mean, I think Miz has beaten Balls every single match they've had. Which is fine, because, you know, Miz is the guy they really want to start building, and Balls is just there to kind of, you know, put guys over. And this was a, you know, fine win for Miz after taking the pin last week in the Fatal 4-Way. This was a good little bounce back win for him. And again, continuing the continued rift between him, Brooke and Layla versus Kelly and her concern for Balls.
Yeah, and then, you know, you have, like, John Morrison. He's backstage now. But, before we get there, Miz leads Extreme X Rosé away. But, you know, Kelly again runs in to check on Balls. It's like, pull the trigger, you know, how much longer? Or do we even know if she is going to run away to be with Balls Mahoney? She could be, like, setting them both up, you know?
Yeah, at some point they've got to, you know, do something.
John Morrison is backstage, says he is a champion the people can believe in. Morrison calls Punk a loser and a Blink-182 groupie, which I thought was hilarious. Says Punk will fail again. I like this one, you know, that like, you know, like Morrison is really like going at it. Like, you know, it sounds like just that kid who had like no friends in school. And like, you know, he's like the drama kid, you know, like from like, you know, who he reminds me of in 21 Jump Street, the drama, like one of the drama kids, like, yeah, I'm the cool, like drama kid, man, you know, like don't play any sports or nothing. You know, it's like, you're a loser and you're a Blink-182 groupie. And you're just going to fail again. So it was really, really funny.
Yeah, it was a good promo. I mean, he's got a right to be confident. I mean, to this point, they've had, I think, like four matches, singles matches, three on pay-per-view, one on television. And so far, he's, you know, won three of them, and Punk's only won one. And that was the only one Punk won was when the belt wasn't on the line. So,
yeah,
you know, Morrison's definitely got a, you know, reason to be confident.
Yep, we see highlights of Raw. The McMahon family wants Vince to change. This was some cringe-worthy stuff here. I can change. I'm going to change everything. Knowing what we know now about the Vince McMahon person now on the outside of professional wrestling, this was cringeworthy to watch. You know, I can change. I'm going to be a better person. And Mr. Kennedy claims that he is Mr. Vince's son. However, the FBI agent or whatever, or the detective comes out. He says Mr. Kennedy is not Mr. McMahon's son. Correct me if I am wrong, Steve. I know that they were going to make Kennedy the son of Mr. McMahon because they were going to give him a push, maybe to become world heavyweight champion. I don't know, or WWE champion. But was this when the fallout of the pharmaceutical list came out and Kennedy's name was blown up on there?
Yes, so I was going to mention that later, but yes, so I believe the plan was for Kennedy to be revealed as the illegitimate son of Vince, but like you said, it was on, it was actually on August 30th, and I have the note here, is that that was when WWE announced the suspension of 10 performers for 30 days, and like you said, that was the whole Signature Pharmacy fallout, when like the pharmacy got, you know, got raided, the guy behind it got arrested, and then they found like this list of these superstars that had kind of gotten, you know, prescriptions from him, just to kind of name some of the names on here, because this, like I said, this would affect a lot of things. Kennedy was one. Also on that list was Charlie Haas, Edge, Gregory Helms, William Regal, Umaga, Funaki, Chris Masters, Chavo Guerrero, and John Morrison.
Oh, so, boy.
Yes. Yeah, so, and also on that list was Booker T, who had, but when he got informed that he was going to be suspended, he gave his notice. So, yeah. So I believe SummerSlam was his last appearance. I know he would go to, TNA for a little bit. And then of course he would come back at the, 2011 Royal Rumble. And he's been back since. Also kind of some other casualties in there. The next day, Mike Bucci, of course, Simon Dean, who was the head of developmental at the time, he got released as well because of this, because he was implicated as well. And then on the 1st, Stephanie McMahon did it. They led a company meeting where she talked about changes they were making to the wellness policy. And that day, Nick Dinsmore, of course, Eugene, he got released because he had tested positive for painkillers and had no prescriptions. So,
oh God, wow.
Yeah.
Also when the MVP thing came out too? Like he was on there, but like he had a legit reason.
I think that was earlier back in the summer, so that was before this. So that would already had been known. But I believe they also mentioned three other names that got mentioned on there on that list was Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Sylvain Grenier, who I think he had already been let go by that point. So it didn't matter for him. But yeah, we're only only 3 months removed from the Benoit tragedy. Now this comes up and just completely overhauls everything that they had going on. Because again, you look at you list out those names. some big names on there, and you know, guys that were involved in some pretty big storylines. So between like, you know, the Raw before and this show, they definitely had to make a lot of adjustments to kind of compensate for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised of what happens with the main event. Why what happens at the end of the show tonight was because of the list, you know. So now we have Elijah Burke and Kevin Thorne, but also Steve. Before that, the whole Mr. McMahon trying to change thing. It's like, oh boy, this is terrible.
Yeah, that whole segment was, again, just completely just, you know, because it was like Stephanie, Shane, and Linda all in that on the ring together. So it just made it even, you know, just made it, you know, that much worse. Because I think the week before on that SmackDown the week before, they had a segment where Coach brought out like a group of women, who were potential, you know, the potential like mothers of the illegitimate son, and they were like apparently praising Vince's sexual abilities, and it was like, oh my god, yeah, and and they also did mention in that as well the I guess like the lawyer came out at the end when he confirmed that Kennedy was not the son, that it would be revealed the next week on Raw, and the one clue he gave, I think it was, is like that things are looking up. For the gentleman's son, so kind of tipping who potentially is it's going to be.
And the way the guy said Mr. McMahon, like he was so like bothered that he's the guy that has to be involved in this like segment, you know, it's like, you want me to do what? Okay, Mr. McMahon.
he should have gone on like the Jerry Briscoe, right? Like Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, he sounded like him. Where's Jordan Duncan when you need him? Elijah. So now we have Elijah Burke and Kevin Thorne versus Steven Richards and Tommy Dreamer. So it's not a one-on-one match anymore, Steve. It is finally a tag team match up here. And it is what it is. Thorne and Stevie start off, kicks to Stevie. Tag to Tommy, diving elbow to Thorne, tag to Burke, clothesline sweep to Tommy, sleeper by Thorne. Thorne goes into the turnbuckle. Stevie goes off on Burke. Thorne throws Stevie into the ring post. Clothesline to Tommy by Thorne. And an Elijah Express to Stevie for the win. For this matchup, I'm going to star in a quarter. It was fine, but like not a whole lot from Tommy. You know, they were letting like Stevie take control of the match. And then instead of Thorne getting the win, they have Thorne take out Tommy. And then Burke gets the win here. So it looks like they're trying just like, push Burke a little bit more here, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna start a half. It was again fine, kind of almost like a little rehash of the ECW Originals New Breed feud. Obviously, you know, Stevie wasn't a part of it, but you know, he's an original, so putting him and Dreamer together kind of, you know, brought some memories of that back. Plus, seeing Thorne and Burke together was kind of interesting. But yeah, Dreamer. I wonder if Dreamer was hurt. That's why he didn't have much of an impact in the match. So, or like you said, maybe they just want to give Stevie a little bit more shine. But again, he kind of, you know, he takes the pin again, and again, it looks like that little underdog run of his is now kind of officially closed. And Burke getting another win as he's again kind of rebuilding himself.
Yeah. So now we have highlights of Morrison versus Punk's. Feud, you know, like all those, and in this highlight package, they were playing like a strong, like I'm a rebel without a cause for Morrison. Like if you heard like the instrumental, like they're playing like an outlaw sort of like cowboy music to him, and I was like, are they trying to make Morrison face? Because like this looked like like they're playing it for Morrison, but like they try to make him like almost like face, because it's like down now I'm taking my last stand against you, Punk. You know, that's how it looked like to me, and I was like, were they trying to make him face? What did you think of this package?
I don't know if they were trying to make him face. I think they were just kind of showing like the again the fact that he had pretty much kind of dominated this feud against Punk, and kind of making Punk the underdog. I don't know what, you know, again, I don't know what the plan was for Morrison before what had happened. If maybe they were thinking about turning him face, because I mean, if you think about it, you know, the face side of ECW is not really that good on in terms of like faces. Besides Punk, you really don't have much else. Meanwhile, on the heel side,
Tommy and Balls, but they're not really like the new faces of ECW, and the Sandman's gone too.
Right, and meanwhile on the heel side you have Morrison, you have, you know, Big Daddy V who's being elevated, Miz is being elevated. You still got, you know, got Burke in there, Thorn you can move up easily. So the heel side's kind of more heavy than the face side. So if they did plan to turn Morrison face, that maybe would have been the best time when he could have had some more challengers.
Like you said, you know, there's more heels than there are baby faces. Like I said, well, I'll get to it at the end after we cover this up here match. But we have our main event. It is CM Punk versus John Morrison, ECW Championship. If Punk does not pin Morrison, he is done and it is over for CM Punk to get title shots. Punk and Morrison grapple each other. Hip toss to Morrison. Springboard drop kick by Punk. Punk goes on offense. Morrison throws Punk into the ropes. Springboard crossbody to the outside by Punk. Morrison catches Punk and slams Punk. Drop kick to Punk's face. Running knee to Punk's face. Superplex by Punk to Morrison. Drop kick to Morrison for a two count. Knee to the face and a bulldog corkscrew moonsault for a two count by Morrison. Morrison counters a GTS but gets caught holding the ropes. Enziguri to Morrison. Punk counters a springboard dropkick into a GTS for the win. For this matchup, Steve, I went a full 3 stars on it. I was going like 2 3/4, but I actually went 3. These guys put on a hell of a performance, and like you almost thought that Morrison was going to win cleanly this time again, you know?
Yeah, I went 3 stars as well. This was definitely easily their best match. Their longest one, too, at just over 16 minutes. So kind of funny, their 3 pay-per-view matches, none of them cracked 10. And meanwhile, both their TV matches cracked the first one went almost 15 minutes. This one goes over 16. So kind of interesting there. But yeah, good little, again, great, really good match between the two. Their chemistry has definitely grown over these last couple months. Again, Morrison kind of, you know, playing the dominant heel, Punk with a good face in peril, making his prepared comebacks. Of course, Morrison again tries to use the ropes, but this time the ref catches him. So you kind of thought maybe he would steal it again, but then he goes for the one big risk and misses, and then Punk takes advantage with the GTS to get the win. And a pretty big big moment here for Punk to finally win the title and finally kind of break through as the top face of the brand. Again, maybe you kind of wonder why they just didn't do this at SummerSlam, when it probably could have been just as big of a pop, if not bigger. But clearly they obviously had to do this out of necessity, because Morrison is going to have to serve his 30-day suspension. But now that Punk is finally the top dog on ECW, with some, you know, like we talked about, some good heels kind of waiting in the roster, or kind of waiting in the wings, we'll kind of see how Punk's reign goes as we head towards the end of 2007.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's more heels than there are baby faces, but I think you can intermingle like with a champion like Punk. You know, you can give it to you can give Tommy a title shot, but it's mostly like Big Daddy V. You give it to him, The Miz, you can give a title shot to Thorne and go back to Burke, you know. I guess we won't be seeing Morrison anytime soon because of the suspension. But you have, like, you can give it to Tommy. You can give, like, maybe a title shot to Stevie. But I want to see, like, you know, Punk versus V, you know, because I've seen, you know, Punk versus Burke so many times too, but like, I'm just waiting to see like who's going to be that first challenger for our new ECW champion, CM Punk. You know, Steve, before we go, why don't we take a look back on, you know, the first half of ECW for 2007. We start off with, in January, it's Bobby Lashley as ECW champion. The Big Show leaves the WWE. He has matches with Test, and then Test gets released after failing a drug test. Hardcore Holly leaves ECW, I believe, after that cage match with Bobby Lashley. That was his last match. And then Lashley fights Umaga at the Battle of the Billionaires match at WrestleMania. Mr. McMahon wins the ECW title from Lashley in a 3-on-1 match at Backlash. Then Mr. McMahon retains at Judgment Day. Then we get to One Night Stand to 2007. Lashley finally wins the ECW title back. We go to the draft. Lashley is drafted to Raw. That leaves the ECW championship vacated. Along the way, we lose Sabu and Rob Van Dam as they go away. The New Breed breaks up, and then Marcus Corvan also goes away here. So, you know, and then we have the Benoit tragedy. You know, like Sandman gets drafted to Raw, like, and Snitsky also leaves ECW to go to Raw. We have the Benoit tragedy that all happened, where Chris Benoit was going to be the ECW champion. John Morrison beats CM Punk to become ECW champion at Night of Champions. And now we're here, you know, like Morrison has retained so many times against Punk, you know, the list of wrestlers who got caught, a lot of deaths. Not only was it, you know, Benoit, but it was also Bam Bam. It was Arnold Skoland. It was Mike Awesome and Brian Adams, too. So a lot of good and bad for the first half of ECW here. Mostly, like, not bad because the Benoit thing, but bad because you drafted Lashley to Raw, but you took away some ECW guys. The loss of Sabu and Rob Van Dam, like, hurt a little bit too, especially Rob Van Dam as well. So what are your thoughts as we are of your thoughts about the first half of ECW in 2007?
It's definitely been an interesting year to say the least. You know, this brand has gone through so many changes. I mean, when you think back to the end of 06 with December to Dismember, you know, Lashley became the ECW champion. The roster was still kind of decent in terms of talents, even though, like you said, Big Show had left by that point. Paul was now gone. But then, you know, like throughout 07, you know, we've seen a lot of people throughout the brand. We've had some, you know, them try some different things, like doing the, you know, the New Breed, get those four guys over, have the Originals, you know, have them face the Originals. You saw, definitely saw Punk continue to go through his rise. You know, Vince being champion, I think, you know, was, it was decent, but it was mainly more to kind of put Lashley over. And then eventually, once that ended, then they moved Lashley over the Raw, like you said. kind of depleted ECW's roster through between the draft and some guys leaving. And then you said, like, once the Benoit thing happened, then the entire company was really kind of thrown for a loop and has kind of struggled these last few months to kind of regain some momentum. And then with this whole Signature Pharmacy thing happening, it's kind of, you know, hurting them again. So it's been a lot of different things going on within the company. Which is interesting because, you know, when you watch the pay-per-views of 07, they're, you know, pretty good. I mean, most of the in-ring action is really good. They've got a good roster. But I think at this point, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the end, how 2007 kind of, you know, concludes as we get towards the, like I said, towards the end of the year. Now that Punk is champion, we're kind of seeing some new faces kind of get mixed in. And we'll kind of see, and then we'll also kind of see, because I just kind of looked ahead a little bit, a lot more commingling here, because we're going to see a couple of mainly SmackDown guys kind of commingle in with the ECW roster to kind of, you know, kind of fill out some spots there. Because as we've been talking about these last couple of months, the ECW roster is really thin, so they could definitely use a little help there on that end. And It's been quite a rocky, you know, rocky year to this point. Like you said, we've had some highs, we've had some lows. And I think, you know, ECW's definitely kind of been the brand that's kind of been affected the most by everything that's gone on this year. So like I said, we'll have to wait and see now how the end of the year turns out for them as we do head into 2008, where we kind of we'll kind of see almost like a tonal shift within the brand as they kind of shift away from what maybe the original ECW was supposed to be, towards being kind of more of a, I would say like straight developmental, will be more of a, the kind of the breeding ground for guys before they jump to like one of the two bigger brands than either Raw or SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that brought up another thing I was saying, was thinking of, you know, the ECW and SmackDown rosters would always do the live, the house shows together, because I remember one time they had ECW by itself in like late 06, and then they canceled it. It was at the Danbury O'Neill Center, and I had front row of to the live house show. I was like, this seems like a little weird, but it's like just ECW. You cannot just have ECW, and I don't think enough ticket sold. They're like, oh, scrap it. And then he realized that, well, now they're doing, you know, SmackDown and the ECW roster together for the house shows, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a good thing too, because I mean, when you look at some of those, just look at some of those house shows, they're definitely very, very SmackDown heavy. A very, very low ECW representation, but barely enough there to kind of, you know, give those guys kind of, you know, some rub on the house shows, particularly a guy like a Punk or, you know, like Burke or Miz, those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is going to do it for us from our ECW shows. But before we end here tonight, Steve, do you have anything that you want to direct the listeners to?
You can usually find me over on the PTB Pop Experience with my regular shows over there. The Video Jukebox Song of the Day, Making Mount Rushmore, and Pop Goes to Classics. Those are going pretty strong. Also over on the North-South Connection YouTube channel, we've got a great series going on right now where we are counting down the top 40 performers in WrestleMania history. We kind of pulled together, went through the numbers, went through everything and determined like who we thought were the top 40. I've already appeared on one where me and Tim Slomka made the case for Owen Hart being number 36 on the list. And by the time this drops, I will have appeared again on another episode of that where me and Richie Mars discuss whether Cody Rhodes deserves to be number 28 on the list. So, yes, so it's been a really fun journey so far. Some big names have already come up, and obviously some major ones still to come. So be sure to follow along with that, and follow along with everything else over on the North South YouTube channel. Those guys are doing a great job, particularly JT and Ryan. They're ranking all 402 WrestleMania matches. They are about by the time this drops, they will have been in the probably in like the top 70 at least. So they are definitely getting down to the wire there with the best of the best in terms of the WrestleMania matches. So be sure to give those guys some love. They definitely deserve it.
Yep. As for me, you can find me mostly on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed with this show. And another show that I do is called Nation Invasion, where I go back with a guest and we cover Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views from 2001 that feature WWF versus WCW and ECW Alliance. I just had Ben Locke on the last one where we covered Raw for us, Raw from August 6th and SmackDown from August 9th, 2001, where Tess joins the Alliance from WWF, and so does Ivory. The Booker T and The Rock are going to challenge each other at SummerSlam. Stone Cold's paranoid with Kurt Angle. And then The Rock and Shane McMahon have a really great street fight, which ends with The Rock laying on a table after Shane McMahon does a diving elbow. You can check all of that out on Nation Invasion. Well, that's going to do it from us here on Extreme Resurrection. For all your extreme needs, listen right here on Extreme Resurrection. We will see you next time. Just come and smooth. Watch me do what I do. Laying down a perfect groove. I'm liquid smooth in Gucci shoes. And the ladies know that I...